This episode of Action With Podcast is brought to you by our gold partner, A-Star Financial Solutions UK, who'll support you on your journey to expand your property portfolio. Thanks to our silver partner, TapTapSend. With great rates, zero fee, and instant transfers, sending money to Nepal has never been easier. Use the code ICCHIN10 for a £10 bonus. Download the app today, TapTap and send now. Big mention to our silver partner, New Lakshmi Jewelers, home to a stunning range of jewelry collection and timeless pieces from the heart of Aldershot. Our bronze partners, Nepal Authentic Dining, where delicious Nepali food is served at Shepherd's Bush and Boston Manor. And our bronze partner, Nepali Music Festival UK 2022, taking place at the Harrow Leisure Centre on December 16 with Trishna Gurung, Ekdev Limbu, Sabine Rai and the Pharaoh. Enjoy the episode. Welcome to another episode of Action With, the podcast presented by A-Star Financial Solutions UK. And today on the podcast, I have with me Janita Pandak. Welcome to the show, Janita.
Thanks. Hey, bro.
All right. So I was going to leave that for a little later, but Janita happens to be my sister as well. So if you are listening and not watching, then yes, I have my sister with me on the podcast. We're going to be talking about what she does. You're a solicitor, but if you could kind of give a quick introduction, what do you do? What do you specialize in?
Hi everyone. I'm Janita. I'm Lex's sister. Just in case you didn't know. I am a solicitor, lawyer in London. So I'm a city lawyer. I specialize in real estate. I do commercial real estate. So what that involves is buying, selling of commercial properties, finance when companies, finance their assets. So I do finance their assets to purchase more assets. So I do that. What else? A bit of construction, residential development, leases, office leases. Yeah. Or basically anything and everything to do with commercial real estate. I'm based in London. And yeah, that's it.
So a good chunk of your work, because you mentioned that... you help people buy more properties and so on.
Yeah.
It's you help individuals to, I guess, maximize their assets.
Yes, pretty much. So our clients are predominantly investors. We do act for a small number of individuals, but it's mainly work for corporate entities. They invest a lot just across the UK, not just London. So they buy mixed use offices, like mm-hmm. mixed use buildings, sorry. So with offices on top, like retail on the bottom. They build new homes, build homes. So if you're seeing all these new build properties across the UK, so I probably would have been involved in some of those. There was a lot more in Kent that I was part of. Just help people buy assets.
So law is, such a big umbrella. It's a big term as well, because you've mentioned that you focus on commercial property. A lot of people from backgrounds similar to ours would probably be more familiar with immigration law, and they may have worked with solicitors and lawyer who are working on their cases. So I just wanted to ask, like, was commercial property or property law something that you always wanted to do? Or how did you kind of end up in this strand of law?
I suppose property, property generally, I mean, first, I suppose, for most people, the first sort of exposure in terms of property would be a residential property. So I guess I've always had that interest in property in a sense that it's tangible. So you can see it being built. Obviously, there's the conveyancing process of buying and selling, but I've always been interested in how, especially back home in Nepal, you know, like how most people build lands from scratch. So I've always been interested on both the construction and then later on the buying and selling aspect of it. But initially it was about how people literally buy a bare land and then build homes from scratch. But I wanted to know more about the stages behind the build, the planning and everything. And when I went to university, that it sort of helped me put things in, it helped me understand it a bit more, and I wanted more of it. So for instance, if I give you a sort of like a simple example, here in the UK, so if you want to build a house, basically you buy a plot of land, you get planning from the council. It's like a step-by-step process, which really made sense to me. It's logical. And the best thing about property, unlike, let's say, probably corporate or IP, property is tangible. You can see it being built. So whenever I work on a transaction, it feels like, you know, it feels amazing, like knowing that, I mean, I've helped this investment company, this corporate entity, build, I don't know, like 100 or like 200 properties from scratch. You can see the whole estate being built up. Yeah, I think that's what led me into property. But I guess, yeah, for most people, like for most ordinary people, their first sort of exposure, you know, in terms of law would be immigration, you know, especially from our, you know, the community that we come in, yeah, immigration, but then, yeah, and then leading on to that residential property.
Cool. So, you know, since graduating from university, you've worked in various firms, you've worked in, now you work in commercial, but you've worked in non-commercial law, et cetera, before as well. So I just wanted to ask, like, how is it working in the law sector as a woman, as a person from a minority ethnic background? But now, like right now, your experience is in London, but you have worked in places outside of London, far smaller as well.
Yes. What I would say to that is it's getting a lot more diverse now, actually. And also in terms of women representation, I read an article recently. I think there's like more than 60% of women in practicing solicitors, women practicing solicitors than men, which I thought was brilliant. But in terms of representation from you know, other communities, I think we're still lacking, but I can see that there's a lot more going on in terms of various schemes that certainly city firms have taken, you know, taken part in the recent years. When I first started, which is probably 4 or 5 years ago, I did notice that it wasn't as diverse as how it is now. But as I said, it's changing. And it's you know, a lot of the firms, I think they see that as an issue, and they are doing, you know, they are actively and consciously doing something about it. For myself, in terms of my experience, yes, I think when I first started, I struggled to know people, to know more people from our community, especially like, you know, legal professionals. I actually did not know anyone else apart from, I think I knew about Professor Subedi, but obviously he wasn't, you know, he wasn't from the background we were, Gherkin background, so he wasn't quite accessible to me back then. I've got, obviously now over the recent years, I've worked with him through BNLA, Britain Nepal Lawyers Association, so I've got a close you know, contact with him. But before, when I was first starting out, you know, I had no way to contact him, and I didn't know anyone else in our community that was in this sector. So yes, but that's changing now. It's like suddenly I've got like whole herd of like Nepalese lawyers friends, which is great. Aside from that, I think the best thing about me was that when I first started out in the sector, I had friends from other communities, like Indian friends, Pakistani friends, who really helped me. So yeah, so I think it's you know, it's getting better, I think, the representation.
That's great to hear. I think sometimes we tend to think that support needs to come from people of the same community, or like, you know, of the same kind of nationality, but that's not always the case, because are friends from different backgrounds as well, whose communities may have been may have experienced something similar to ours as well, and we can always tap into the wider South Asian network and, you know, people from different parts of the world. You touched on BNLA, so that's Britain Nepal Law
Lawyers Association.
Lawyers Association. Yeah. So there's quite a lot of people in BNLA, people from kind of people with Gurkha heritage and people from non-Gurkha heritage as well. Mm-hmm. In the past few years, I've also noticed that whenever various Nepali online publications do a shout out on, you know, Nepali people who are now qualified by, is it the something of law? I don't know. Or basically yeah. someone who's like a solicitor and so on. Yeah. I tend to see more younger Nepali women pursuing this line of work yeah. In comparison to like a young Nepali man and so on. Is that a fair observation from my side, or what's the consensus from your kind of observation?
Do you mean from the younger generation?
Yeah, like someone who's like freshly out of university, between 21 to 28. I feel like there's more Nepali women in that kind of spectrum, studying law, coming out, graduating, and so on.
I think so. That's probably a fair assessment. Yeah, I think in the recent years, certainly, like I know more Nepali female lawyers than. Than Nepali male lawyers mm-hmm. That sort of grew up in the UK. But as a whole, the organization itself, we have more Nepal qualified lawyers as opposed to UK qualified lawyers. But yeah, I think there's more women as opposed to men generally. Yeah, which is always good to see. Yeah.
Yeah. So I want to ask as well, for whether you're in corporate, whether you're in residential or labor and so on, etc. What are some of the skills that you think helps when you're in this line of work? Whether it could be people skills, like your personality or, you know, things that could help you in the early years of your kind of...
I suppose to the job itself, I feel like you have to be curious. You have to be really... I hate this word, passionate about law in general. Well, certainly the area that you're doing in, because there's otherwise, because you're going to be doing that every day in and out. So you need to, I feel like you need to have a curious mind. I think, yeah, for curious mind, but in terms of the job itself, as long as you're prepared to work hard, you know, it's not that hard. It's not that hard. I probably didn't feel like that when I was sitting my exams, but I don't think it's that hard. I mean, it is hard. Obviously, there are certain challenges, but I'd say as long as you have a curious mind, you can do, you know, I think that's all you need. And also, yes, on the side, you need to have a good interpersonal skills, because a lot of what we do is talking to clients, especially if you're working on... like a big deal, you have like 10 or 15 lawyers from different departments, so you need to be able to, you know, communicate effectively. And also there's drafting as well. Your English mm-hmm. written has to be pretty on point. But I would just say if you just have a curious mind, like the hunger to learn new things every day, because especially like the type of work that I do, I just don't do like one type of area. I do I do a bit of finance, a bit of leases, contracts. I do corporate support as well. So it's every, you know, it's because I'm really interested in what I do. So for me, and also I have a curious mind. I always want to know, oh, you know, how about this? How about this? And also, again, you know, going back to commercial property again, I like working with different type of buildings and mm-hmm. also different type of like different like corporate entities as well. So for instance, if there's a charity company, you know, I would like to know like why they're acquiring that, you know, that piece of like that space, that office space, like why that location. So it's like having that general like curiosity and mm-hmm. interest, I think.
So was law something that you always wanted to do when you were younger as well, like when you were in kind of school?
Oh, I was thinking about this the other day, actually, and somebody asked me that. Weirdly, I've never had somebody ask me that in my interviews mm-hmm. when going for jobs. But during conversations with friends, somebody asked me that recently, and I didn't quite know how to answer it, because do you remember much about me talk about
what you wanted to be?
Yeah.
I don't.
No, I yeah, it sort of just like fell into like
I know that
I don't think I've ever grew up saying, oh, I wanted to do law, I wanted to be a lawyer.
Equally, I don't remember you saying you wanted to do or be something
else.
Because I remember Kupila saying like she wanted to like do something around like She was into space at one point.
Yeah.
Or she was like into helping people.
But it's always about helping people.
But from you, I don't remember.
Because I've always been very practical, and practical in the sense that, you know, you need money to get by in life. And I've always been inclined towards wanting to live a very comfortable life. And I thought that law was something that would give me that. And also, I think that was one of the reasons why I switched over to law during my A-levels, because initially I was doing something else. I think I did history and English Lit and Lang. And then I switched across to A-level law just because I think at that stage I must have been watching a lot of TV shows. Law-based TV shows, and I saw the glitz and glam, and I think that sort of attracted me to law at that stage. But yeah, I think it's because I'm quite practical, and also I wanted something, you know, again, like that would give me a comfortable life, and something that I could really picture and understand. Something's a bit more black and white.
Yeah.
Yes. Something tangible.
Yeah. So yeah. Your kind of interest and curiosity for commercial property law is really coming through. Yeah. And I was just wondering, because in certain sectors, you know, you do have that gift of knowing that if you work in this sector for XYZ years, you're going to head to this level in terms of your career progression and so on. So what's the kind of career progression goal for you? Is there kind of like a top line kind of role that you're aspiring towards or working towards?
I'd love to be a partner, but
And can you explain to our listeners what exactly is a partner, or where partner. A partner sits?
So in terms of hierarchy, you do obviously go to law school, and then you do a 2-year training. Which is a graduate scheme. It's 2 years. You're a trainee solicitor at that stage. Once you qualify, you're a solicitor. In my firm, in terms of the setup, we've got, as soon as you qualify, you're a solicitor, you're a junior solicitor, and then it goes up to associate, and then there's a senior associate, and then you become a legal director, and partner is the top role that you can attain in a law firm. So in terms of what I want to do in the future, I'm not entirely sure if I do want to stay in the legal sector, but certainly in the next couple of years or so, yes, definitely. I don't aspire to be a partner, because it probably don't sound very ambitious, but it's a lot of hard work. And also with partner, there is that added responsibility of having to bring in clients, having to bring in deals, which I don't necessarily like, though I do like BD, business development. I do talking to people, talking to clients, potential clients, you know, sussing them out. And also I think I'm sort of borderline extrovert, in a sense that I'm a people. I like talking to people. I get energy from good people around me, but I can see that being so draining if I had to do that, you know, as the main aspect of my job. Because I do really enjoy being a lawyer. I like my deals. I like the fact that I go in, I just work on my deals, and then the BD side is just on the side. But if I had to do that as a main, probably not so much. So I think at this moment in time, I'm probably just aiming for senior associate. Yes. And possibly a legal director, I'm not sure. But I think as senior, I'd be quite happy if I just got to that level.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I don't know. Who knows? In the next couple of years, I might think, I need money, so I have to go for the partnership.
Yeah. I mean, it looks like there's quite a few options, but you also mentioned that, who knows, that you might not be doing law, like, you know, long term in the future. So I just wanted to ask, obviously, not really specific, but is there anything else, like, if, you know, is there any kind of thought like, oh, if I wasn't doing law, then I'd like to do this, or I'd like to kind of pursue this and so on?
Not really. This is something that I've been thinking about as well, because for me, if I wasn't doing law, I'm not sure I'd do anything else. But I think when that comment that I made, who knows, I might not be doing law, in a sense that I probably want to take a break.
Okay, cool.
I meant in terms of sabbatical, but yeah. I don't think I can see myself doing anything else except law.
Yeah.
I can see myself branching out to other areas within the legal sector, but I think law, because I really enjoy what I do, and for most people, it's probably about money. I mean, certainly for me, it's about money as well. But for me, it's more about the fact that I really enjoy what I do. And then obviously the money helps. Mm-hmm. So I probably wouldn't like step away from it completely.
Yeah. For a young person or like, yeah. let's say a young Gen Z or someone who's trying to pick like what to study, et cetera, and law and stuff. Would you say that doing law will help them lead a comfortable life in the UK or in London, especially now in light of like the inflation and the cost of living crisis and so on?
I mean, generally, I would say so, but it's very area specific. So, for instance, I'm not entirely sure about other sectors. I think it varies with criminal and immigration. I'm told that the money isn't as, great as it should be. As it should be, because you know the immigration and crime lawyers and certainly human rights lawyers, they do amazing jobs, but I have heard that it's not as well paid as, for instance, corporate lawyers, IP lawyers and stuff. Real estate, I think we're not bad in terms of, you know, the salaries and stuff. Yes, certainly if you obviously, you know, if you decide to pursue a career in corporate, IP and even real estate, you know, it can be comfortable. And also, you know, it depends on what type of, you know, who you work for. You know, there are some big firms in the city that can pay handsomely, mm-hmm. in the sectors that I've mentioned. Yeah.
Yeah. You talked about a possible sabbatical as well. So I just wanted to ask, like, in terms of when you're not working, because people in the law sector, depending on the line of work, they have long hours that they're doing and so on. How are the different things? Okay. What are the different ways that you kind of like let your hair down?
that's tricky, because I haven't been that productive outside of like non-legal stuff. It's usually, well, how I let my hair down is usually a lot of drinking, a lot mm-hmm. of socializing. But yeah, I go for runs. Mm-hmm. I think running really helps mentally as well as physically. But yeah, just spending time with friends and family. I think I lead a pretty standard life in terms of don't do much.
Yeah,
I don't do much like outside of law. I think we have a lot of like family times. We go travel together.
You've also been to, obviously in our family, we have a bit of a competition in terms of the country count. So I'm still stuck on 29. So that's the number of countries that I've visited.
I think I've done 36.
So you're on country 36.
Yeah.
So yeah, you've been to quite a lot of countries.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to ask, is like, you know, what's been okay, if you have to, what's like highlight, what's a memory that you can vividly remember from the trips that you've done, if you can share one?
I think one of the best trips I've had so far, it's probably Kenya. Mm-hmm. So we went as a family, we went to Kenya in July this year. So that was amazing, because I'd never been to Central Africa. Is Kenya?
East Africa,
yeah, sorry, like, yeah. Yeah. Like Africa. I've gone to Egypt and Morocco, but that's a different landscape. So Kenya was amazing. The safari I thought was absolutely brilliant. Different landscape, food as well. And also I was so shocked about the diversity in Nairobi. That really fascinated me. And I've since coming back, I've been doing a lot of reading on Kenya and Uganda, certainly like Kenyan Asians and Ugandan mm-hmm. Asians. And I just quickly mention, I'm part of this book club with Asian Women's Lawyers Association UK, and we have a book club. So the book that we read recently, it's called, I forgot the name now, but it's about this lawyer. Mm-hmm. He is British. He's British Indian, mm-hmm. and his parents are from Uganda. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so they moved over here when the Ugandan Asians got expelled post UK.
Yeah. something that happened.
Yeah. Yes, post UK exit. Yeah. So that was very interesting. And also that, you know, following that book, we spoke a lot about the whole, you know, British colony, African, Asian. So I thought Kenya was amazing and I'd love to go back. Mm. And weirdly, I've been meeting a lot of Kenyan Indians in London. Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of Indian friends with Kenyan heritage. Yeah. So I'm just really interested in Kenya and also Uganda. So I think Kenya was probably one of the best trips because it was so different from any other countries I've been to in the past.
Yeah. You mentioned the book club, and I just wanted to ask, you know, I think one of the things about working in the law sector is you have to have, not you have to have, but I feel like having that personality and that ability to connect with different people can take you further. So I wanted to ask, how important is networking in this sector, in this field, and how much have you done that, and what's your take on it?
I think in my early years, I was a serial networker, but now not so much because I've been pretty lazy in the past months or so. It's something that I need to pick it up again. I think I've got to the stage where I'm a bit more comfortable, a bit more settled. Obviously, you know, I've got a bit more experience, a bit more years of experience. So I'm just hibernating at the moment. So it needs to be reactivated at some stage. But yeah, certainly in my initial years, I was a serial networker, and that helped me a lot. When I initially qualified, I qualified in a different area called occupational disease. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't, I'd never done property before, but usually when you qualify into a certain area, you have to have done it as part of your training contract. So I hadn't done any property during my training contract. And all I knew at that stage when I was qualifying into occupational disease is that it's an area that definitely interested me, but I couldn't see myself doing it for years and years, which is what I can see, you know, commercial property. I can see myself doing commercial property for years. But with occupational disease, I couldn't see myself. I just felt like there was no longevity in terms of mm-hmm. like the interest and so on. But I did enjoy it when I was doing it.
Yeah.
So, yes. So I knew it was something that wasn't for me.
Yeah.
So I think what I did was I had to basically find somebody who would give me a job without having had any prior experience in real estate property. So that's when a lot of the networking that I did really helped, because with organizations like Asian Women's Lawyers Association, I made friends, lots of Asian friends from real estate property mm-hmm. backgrounds. I was part of Society of Asian Lawyers too. I actually attended loads of events organized by Chinese lawyers as well, and lots of like random networking events organized by the Law Society here and there. So that really helped me in terms of, I knew I was interested in real estate property, but I wanted to know how to get myself in there without having had any experience. Mm-hmm.
Welcome to A-Star, your complete financial solution. The A stands for first class service, and the star relates to you, our most important clients. We are a team of whole market advisors with more than 10 years of excellent service. Serving nationwide, we specialized in home mortgages and remortgages, wills and estate planning, residential sales and lettings, property management, real estates, insurances and pensions. For both personal and business financial advices, please feel free to contact us for consultant. We look forward to working with you. A-Star Financial Solution, making your move memorable.
This episode of Action With Podcast is brought to you by our gold partner, A-Star Financial Solutions UK, who'll support you on your journey to expand your property portfolio. Thanks to our silver partner, TapTap Send. With great rates, zero fee, and instant transfers, sending money to Nepal has never been easier. Use the code ICCHIN10 for a £10 bonus. Download the app today, TapTap and send now. Big mention to our silver partner, New Luxme Jewelers, home to a stunning range of jewelry collection and timeless pieces from the heart of Aldershot. Our bronze partners, Nepal Authentic Dining, where delicious Nepali food is served at Shepherd's Bush and Boston Manor. And our bronze partner, Nepali Music Festival UK 2022, taking place at the Harrow Leisure Centre on December 16 with Trishna Gurung, Ekdev Limbu, Sabine Rai and the Pharaoh. Enjoy the episode. I wanted to ask as well, in terms of like, you know, there's a lot of changes in your career in terms of, you know, different places that you've had to move to for work. What's been the thing that's really gotten you by, whether it's like a who's been supportive or what has that thing? It could be a non-person thing as well. That's kind of just kept you going. Or it could be yourself because, you know, we don't have to always thank other people.
Yeah, no, obviously family. Also, when I was switching over from occupational disease to property, I took a, you know, big pay cut and, you know, I was living at home. So, you know, the fact that I had this stable home, our parents have always been so supportive. So, yeah, I know parents, I think without parents' help, I don't think I'd be able to get this far. And also, I think, you know, our dad, like he's the one who constantly pushes me like to do better, I mean, he's set the benchmark so high. I constantly think about him. Sometimes even when I'm feeling lazy at work, I'm thinking, oh my God, I was thinking about it the other day. I was like, okay, do I really want to be a partner? I'm like, sure, I think I do. My dad would love for me to be a partner because he's done so much. So I think it's probably mum and dad. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Nice. Is there kind of like what's been like the most challenging thing about your life? It doesn't even have to be like career related.
Oh, the most challenging thing
that you can share, obviously.
Oh, the most challenging thing. There's been like small amounts of challenges here and there, but I haven't had a huge challenge.
Okay, if you can, like, okay, then what about like the small things that you mentioned, what are they in terms of like themes? Has it been more about kind of decision making, identity, or like, you know, I don't know, money?
I mean, identity, not so much, because I think obviously there's that. It's sort of like it's a small facet, like identity. Obviously, we all struggle with the whole notion of identities, you know, given our backgrounds. But it's not a huge part of, you know, what I suppose it should be now when I think about it. But for me, I'm just a person, and you know, here are my likes and dislikes and so on. And obviously, yes, my identity, like my background, you know, he's a huge part of me. But no, not so much actually. I mean, I don't see, for me, challenge is such a heavy word. So
That's good. That's fine.
Yeah.
What are some things that, you know, like obviously you're working, you've been working for a while now. What are some things that keep making you like, you know, this is why I'm doing this, that keep you going?
I guess the thirst of wanting to live a comfortable life as bad as it may sound. I think it's just that, just to want to live a comfortable life and just enjoy, you know, the finer things that the life has to offer. I guess that's keeping me going. And also my interest in what I do. And also, you know, this is, just spend more time with family. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. During the pandemic, you and friends, I believe, started a small network for younger people getting into law or who are already in law as well. I just wanted to ask, like, how did that go? And do you see that being something that you will continue over the next couple of years?
Yes, about that. It's been put on hold for now. It's hibernating, as with all my other networking networking things. Yes, we started. It's called Young Lawyers. UK Nepal Lawyers. I believe. Yeah, sorry. It's sort of been put on hold for now. Yeah, so we started out during the pandemic. So it went quite well, actually. We had a couple of Zooms, socials. So we met other young Nepalese lawyers and also those interested in pursuing law. So that's a good, yeah, it was a good way, good platform to meet other people. I've met a couple of people from there in person. Mm-hmm. The last couple of months. So yeah, although we could do more, it's just finding the right time for it. I've just been busy with work and life generally.
Yeah, definitely. So, I mean, yeah, work takes 5 days of our week, and yeah, you know, we have one day for our, I don't know, social friends, etc., and one day for ourselves, and that's weekend all gone. Mm-hmm. So completely understandable. On a personal note, I also wanted to ask, like, you know, a lot of the times as women, not just in law, but women progress on, women master their career and so on, there's always that, you know, and there's that pressure for women to kind of juggle multiple roles and I guess identities and so on, whether that's being a partner as in the sense of being you know, married and so mm-hmm. on, and then there's motherhood if some people decide to follow that, or just starting some sort of a family, even with a dog, etc., and so mm-hmm. on. I wanted to ask you, because you you know, you're in your kind of early 30s and so on, and you know, living in the community that we are, or even in a non-Nepali setting, most people start thinking about, you know, what's my future going to look like and so mm-hmm. on. How much have you had to think about that now that you're kind of in that kind of age zone where I'm assuming friends and everyone other thinks, people are yeah. getting kind of settling down, even though I don't really like that term, settling yeah. down?
It's something that I'm not actively thinking about, but obviously it's in the back of my head, because obviously I would come from this community, so you can't really get away from it completely. To be honest, I don't really think about it as much. I think for me right now is just like, I love what I do, so I'm really, you know, I'm getting in a good space. I want to do more of it. I want to learn new things within the real estate sector. So that's my main focus and priority at the moment. But obviously, yes, in the back of my head, I do think, oh yes, perhaps, you know, I need to really think about those things. It is something that I am thinking about, but I don't really, you know, if it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, then I'm okay, because I've got a lot going on right now. I would love to get married. I know I would love to find, you know, the one to settle down with or have kids and stuff. But I'll only do it if it sort of complements my life. Mm-hmm. You know, I wouldn't just settle down just for the sake of settling down. Mm. But yeah, it's, I know it sounds probably, yeah. Yeah, it's not a priority.
Yeah.
It's not a priority. For me, my job is a priority because I love what I do. So
yeah.
And thankfully our parents are quite calm about it.
That's true. No, I think that's definitely, I think that's how we should proceed forward. Like, unless
our dad is very different in a sense. Like, I think he'd prefer me to do masters. He'd
study
prefer
more,
me to get a PhD.
Enjoy,
yeah,
travel
as opposed
the world,
to get married. Kids.
Yeah, never, like, we're like, yeah, never set. I'd never settle down for the sake of finding that person because I'm worried about being lonely.
Yeah.
You know, I'd deal with it when that happens. But unless I find somebody who will, like you said, compliment, I think we find somebody who compliments and makes the us greater.
Yeah.
Then yes, we'll marry.
Yeah,
or
weirdly, I was having this conversation with mum the other day, and my mum's like, "Oh, it's fine. You've still got you're in your early 30s. You've got a bit of time. Maybe look towards settling down in your late 30s." And dad like echoed the same sentiment, and you know, and I thought, "Oh my god, our parents are amazing." My dad was like, "You know how dad? He's like, oh, why don't you do like study more? Why don't you do a PhD? Why like you know you'll have that doctor title." I'm like, "Oh gosh, yeah." So. Yeah. Yeah, no. yeah, it's
that's good. Yeah. That's good. Obviously, we've talked about like commercial property law and amplifying assets and so on. So I just wanted to kind of give a big shout out to our gold partner, A-Star Financial Solutions and Real Estates, because you can get in touch with them if you want to get support for anything, managing your assets, remortgaging and expanding that property portfolio. Right now, there's a lot of people in the UK with side hustles and things that they have on the side, or things that they'd like to do. And I just wanted to ask if you've got anything on the side or anything that you'd like to do in the future.
I'm not sure if I've got any side hustle. No, I don't think I do. I mean, we have a couple of buy-to-let properties. So I suppose that could be seen as a side hustle. But other than that, it's nothing active, no active side hustle jobs. But yeah, I guess in the future, I don't know if I've told you, but I've always wanted to open my own cafe.
Yeah.
So I've told you about that, haven't I? Because I'm into cakes. I love all things sweets and coffees and stuff.
Can you specify to our listeners in terms of in this vision, do you see yourself as the person who really plants the vision and kind of funds it or brings funding? Or do you see yourself actually making the cakes and selling the cakes?
No. That's negative. No, I mean, I'll probably be the person behind the funding, the, you know, management stuff, but not baking. I think no one would want to come to my cafe. But yeah, that's something.
It's because she cannot bake well.
Yeah, I cannot bake.
She's not saying that baking is a bad profession.
Oh, no.
By the
baking
way.
Is a good profession. We
have a cake like every week in our house. We'd love a personal baker, baker.
Yeah, no, I would love to know how to bake well. I am absolutely bad at baking and cooking generally. But no, that's something that I actually have been thinking about. I want to have my own cafe, not in the UK, probably back home in Nepal. Yes, so that's sort of the long-term gain. I mean, again, I don't want to do it full-time. It's probably just something on the side.
Something that's like a fun side project.
Yes.
Which doesn't eat your brains. I also wanted to ask, like, you're quite visible on social media. You post lots of things, lots of content. I think at one point in your life, there was a blog called Lawyer's Cheek or something. Or like, you know, these are the law professionals showing.
Oh, it's like a fancy life.
Yeah, something like that. But basically, somebody just amplified your Instagram and so on. So I just wanted to ask, on Instagram, I'm sure there's a lot of people that comment or ask you questions.
Yeah.
What are some of the things that you think people have in terms of misconceptions about you?
Probably that the legal profession get you know, lawyers get paid a lot of money. I mean, yes, certainly we do. Yes, probably it's like way above the market rate. Yes, way above like a normal, average job. But but not as much as bankers, I think. Mm-hmm. People ask me questions. I get random DMs on Instagram saying, "Oh, which area pays the most?" I'm like, it's not like, I'm interested in this area, or, you know, how do I go about it? Or like, which area pays the most? It's usually money related. Mm-hmm. And I suppose, you know, being visible on social media, and a lot of my pictures are from us traveling, or usually from me drinking, eating out and stuff. So it probably gives them that perception that, you know, the life I lead is, you know, very glam, but, you know, we do really work hard for it. Mm-hmm. So, and again, there are other jobs that pay much more. I don't know, in terms of misconceptions, I think it's usually just about the finances. I think people are really curious about the finance. Mm-hmm. Obviously, rightly so, because you want to know like what you're going into.
Yeah.
But often it's just about finances. But other than that, not so much. And also, I think because I'm constantly out and about, people probably don't think that I work as much. People think it's law is literally 9 to 5, but it's not always the case.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess there are late nights, there are early mornings, and there are some times when it's just continuous reading and prepare, prepping up. But I guess, like you said, the past year or so, you've got into a zone where you're slightly more comfortable and more settled. So I guess, you know, it naturally makes sense that you have more fun and social things going on in your life as well. Mm-hmm. What's an advice that you kind of really wished you had gotten when you were younger?
What the advice that I should have got when I was younger?
Like now when you look back at it, it's like, oh, if somebody had told me when I was 18 or when I was 15 to XYZ, that would have been great.
No, there's nothing. There's nothing because our parents pretty much had it all covered. They always said study hard, which I didn't do. So yeah, I just sort of look back. You know how I was during my school years? I'll like look back and I think I could have like done better in those subjects and stuff. No, I think our parents, you know, we have well-rounded parents. I think they had it all covered.
So you kind of gently kind of implied that, you know, studies you could have done better.
Yeah.
Some people may be thinking, oh, she works in law, she has a good she has a good life, lots of fun posts and so on. So people may be thinking that you're like straight A students from like GCSEs and throughout. But you weren't.
Yeah, obviously I was.
So what would you say, like, you know, not dwelling too much on the grade, but, you know, some people feel like, young people feel like when they don't quite get their A's or like the distinctions or merits in university, that life is over. But what's the reality? Because clearly, you know.
Yes. Yeah.
You can make it.
Yes. Grades are important, obviously. It's very important. So kids study hard. Grades are important, but it comes back to networking. So because I lacked, which is, you know, I didn't have the A's and B's that I needed. So that's when my networking helped, because I'm a people. I like meeting people, I like talking to people. So so the networking thing really, really helped me, actually, because people often tell me I've got very good interpersonal skills. So that's sort of, you know, like, you know how it is, if you get a person, if you sort of talk to people, mm-hmm. like try and connect with them and try and, you know, try and get them on their level, get to know them on their level, they will really open up to you and they will really try and help you as much as, you know, trying to help. If they like you, that is obviously.
They'll make it happen for
you. Yeah, they'll make it happen for you. So that's why I'm so appreciative of all the people that I've got in my life, because without them, I don't think I would have got this far, because as you said, I'm not a lot of the typical A students. I can't even remember if I got any A's in my GCSEs. I probably got one B in my GCSEs. And A levels, yeah, I just got B's and C's. Uni got a 2.2. That really closed. Well, I thought that was it. I thought, oh, you know, I got a 2.2. I wouldn't be able to practice law. But then I met loads of people again through all these networking events and stuff that told me, no, don't be disheartened by it. You just need to work extra hard, or you just need to know the right people again, you know, attend all these events, you know, just go and see, you know, just go and talk to them. And again, I'm going back to what I said about having the curious mind. Okay, fine. I didn't have the grades, but then I'm very interested in the subject as a whole. So I think that really helped me.
That's incredible. I think, you know, always stay questioning and always find a way, because there will be a way.
Yes, yeah.
Never give up. I mean, you know, your grades are just a moment in your life, but they're not like a full stop. You have a very determined, like, you know, a driven personality, mm-hmm. you know, in that willingness to get it done as well. Where does that stem from?
would you say dad? I don't know.
I guess partly.
Oh yeah, partly is dad, isn't it?
I guess maybe like 25% that, and maybe 75% your own life experiences, and like you said, you know, yeah. you wanting to prove yourself wrong yeah. and continue the chapter when you feel like actually is this it? But yeah, you know, clearly
yeah.
not. Yeah.
Yeah, and also yeah, I know I'm very determined in a sense that I think sometimes, oh, I want to do this, and then I don't think about, oh, the stages. Like, I don't think, oh, is it going to be hard? I just want to do it. Mm-hmm. I don't know how to get there. At some stages, I probably wouldn't even know how to get there, like process and stuff, but I know that I'll get it done. Mm-hmm. And I'll think about the avenues to get there, you know, later on, or as I'm just going along. And I guess a lot of my personality, dad, and also I think people around me and everyone around us, they're, we are all doing something.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like I'm surrounded by obviously you, our sister, and friends that are really determined. Mm.
I think this determined personality may be mum more than dad as well.
Oh, mum.
Dad has a very practical, logical way of doing things, but mum has a very like, okay, she doesn't know how she's gonna get it done, but she wants it.
I guess I'm very similar to mum. So I'm similar to mum in that sense. So. I mean, because like growing up, like everyone around us, they're all always doing something. They get it done like by hook or crook. So I guess, yeah, just people around me inspire me, motivate me.
That's great to hear. So 36 countries in, what are some life goals in terms of travel for you in the next few years?
I want to do more of Africa. I think we just spoke about earlier, Uganda and Tanzania as well. And more of I haven't been to South America at all, so I want to venture out over to South America and Asia as well. I feel like I need to do Thailand. I'm probably like the only person in the UK that hasn't been to Thailand. So yeah, lots of traveling, hopefully in the next couple of years. Yeah.
Great. Exciting. I feel like on that, I've kind of lost that race because I'm only in 29.
Yes.
Unless like in the next 12 months, I kind of really do like a big, massive country, like, yeah, world tour.
No.
Interrail. I think that's the only way. I think that's how you won us because of that European trips.
All the European countries.
Whereas I was a bit bored of Europe. So I think that's, but anyways, that is that. Just wanted to say on that note, I mean, your career, what you're doing, you know, however that you do it, you get it done. Whether you know you do it with people or without people, whether it's work, whether it's like the social side of things and so on. So it's been great to see you progress in your career, do other things as well as kind of very, you know, rapidly challenge your own things and who you are to become a better human being. I think we can all do that, and we all play a part in our own lives, especially in each other's lives. So I wish you all the best and more for the career ahead. And I hope for the people listening at home, you enjoyed some of the things that she said, because I believe that there were some really valuable advices there, because, you know, a lot of the times that we may not come from a space where we have that ability to kind of articulate what exactly we want in life, or that ability to network as well because of how we've been kind of socially brought up or conditioned.
I'm shocked about the grades.
And you know, the grades and so on as well. That's such a reality, because a lot of us may not have done the best at GCSEs, but right now, like, you know, 10, 15 years down the line, doesn't matter. Has anyone asked for a kind of transcript and so on?
No one. I removed it completely out of my CV.
Yeah. So it's like, you know, you have to do what you have to do. And, you know, life is a constant process, and you make your own kind of things as you go along. On a final note, do you have any kind of final parting words for people listening to this podcast right now?
Final parting words, I say
stay curious. And that was Janita Pandak talking about her life in law. You are listening to Ikchin with presented by A-Star Financial Solutions and Real Estates UK, and this is me, Lexinbu. Thank you so much for listening.
Bye
everyone.
Thanks.
This episode is brought to you by our gold partner, A-Star Financial Solutions UK, silver partners, TapTapSend and New Luxme Jewelers, bronze partners, Nepal Authentic Dining and Nepali Music Festival UK 2022. Thank you for listening to Ekchin With.